We've been slacking. Why have we put off the podcast so long?
I don't know. I just think I was emotionally overwrought with stuff here. I needed a break, I think. A break from my life of nothing. I don't know. Why? What was your reason?
I hate to think that we're in some way in sync and on anything, but I felt like I still have two podcasts I haven't published. I haven't even edited one of them. So it just seems like we hit a point at which
together
the podcast needed to take a little bit of a rest.
I think it did. It did. And, you know, but I have some ideas moving forward, and I think we should get into it in earnest and make this like a nice summer project.
Your ideas always scare me.
I know. My ideas scare me. But I did have a question for you, James. Was there any follow-up from the last episodes?
I haven't edited the last episode,
okay.
So I can't even follow up from it.
Okay.
And my excuse is that we've had a few things going on. Nothing, you know, it's just my son is coming to the end of, actually, not
right.
Coming to the end. He has now fully come to the end of his high school experience.
Aww.
And that was filled with a bunch of interesting little tidbits.
Anything you can share?
Yeah. I mean, I don't, he's not 18. He doesn't have any privacy.
Oh.
He's not a human yet.
No, he's human.
Almost, though. He's getting there.
Mm-hmm.
Start
he looks
off,
pretty human.
Start off with prom.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly, he wanted to go to his own prom, which, you know,
he came from
parents both non-prommers.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where that gene
ditto.
Came from.
I was a half a prommer. I went to one and skipped the other.
Seems like the prom gene must have skipped a generation.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him repeatedly when his prom was, and he says, "Oh, it's in a couple weeks," because, you know, I didn't know what he was going to wear. He doesn't have a suit. On Tuesday, not this Tuesday, this was a few Tuesdays ago, but on a Tuesday.
Okay.
I asked him again, you know, let's figure out exactly when that is. And so he went and looked at the invitation and he came back, "Oh, it's Friday." I was like, "I'm sorry, did you say like this Friday?" It's like, "Yeah." I was like, "And you wanted a suit?" I was like, "Yeah, well, okay. Well, tomorrow we'll go out and look for suits, but I don't know. We'll probably find something, but this is a late date. This is cutting it a little close." And Wednesday morning came around, and we went out to the local suit place. There's a suit place I've passed 100 times because it's maybe 4 or 5 blocks from my house. $99 suits. I didn't think we would find anything there because it's a cheap suit place.
Right.
I didn't expect much from it. We went in there, and 20 minutes later, he's found a 3-piece suit, a shirt, and a tie, and he's been fitted for it, and we're going to pick it up. And we picked it up on Friday, and it was like $350.
Nice.
So I was blown away. It's like, that was the easiest thing I've ever done in my life.
Wow. The $99 suit place.
Yeah. And you know, so that was the 3-piece suit, a shirt, a tie, and quite a bit of tailoring. So the guy tailored it all up.
Wow. And he got it. Like, that was a pretty quick tailor job.
From Wednesday to Friday morning.
Wow. That's crazy, James.
And it looks great.
Good. Did he have a fun time?
Yeah. Reasonably fun.
Good. Good. As proms go.
It was crazy. Yeah, his class is 40 people.
Mm-hmm.
Not a big class.
Well, good. I'm glad he went. Memories.
Oh, and then he graduated.
Mm-hmm.
And graduated again because he got his associates from Phoenix College a couple
weeks
ago. And then last week he got his, or not last week, this week, this past week, he got his high school degree.
Okay.
So, yes. He was a college graduate before he was a high school graduate.
That's funny. I did the same thing. I took college courses at GCC when I was a senior. Yeah, and music. I was a music major briefly.
But that's how they get you at Phoenix College Preparatory Academy, is that most of the classes you're taking as a high school student are, in fact, college classes. So you wind up with an associate's degree.
Right. I did, too. That's crazy. That's fun. Nice. Good for him. Where's he going to
11,
school?
I think there were 11 of his 11 students from the class who got their associate's degree. Oh, including one junior.
Hmm.
A high school junior got her associate's degree.
Oh, wow.
Freaking madness.
Overachiever?
Yeah, I guess so.
At least an achiever. I mean, I like that. Good for her. Good for her. So you've been busy.
The Phoenix College graduation was a little bit over the top. I kept looking around and thinking, you guys know this is just an associate's degree, right? I mean, I don't want to belittle it, but they were going a little nuts. And it was just a terrible I didn't really appreciate the ceremony. I think it really was only 2 hours, but it genuinely felt like three. It just would not end.
No.
They picked an architect for the commencement speech.
Mm-hmm.
And he was awful.
Oh, no.
As architects are.
As architects are awful.
The high school graduation was so much better, though. It was an hour. Granted, they had a lot. They had far fewer students to get through. They only had 40 students to get through, as opposed to Phoenix College had 500 to get through.
Wow.
But the speaker was great. It was just so much more. It was so much more better.
So much more better,
says the college graduate.
Well, good.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only other excuse I have for not doing anything with the podcast, is that I've also, you know, going to Yellowstone in about a month or 2 months or whenever, sometime this summer. And I got a little obsessed about, you know, what camera I was going to bring. So I've been camera shopping.
Dinking around with that. Sounds good. Yeah. Sounds good.
No, it's not good.
No?
I don't need to buy anything more, but I think I'm going to.
No.
All right, so I think I'm caught up. You may now...
I may now.
Flow. You may now dump.
Oh, I was just like working with the Registrar of Contractors to deal with that stinking situation. Still, oh, it's never ending. I don't even really want to talk about it. It just makes my stomach hurt.
Hmm. That about wraps that up, huh?
Yeah, that about wraps that up. It's a good thing it's a bathroom. I could just hurl thinking about it every time. But it will at some point be...
Adventures in contracting.
Adventures. You know, I'm afraid to have anyone step foot in this house again. And there's so much work that needs to be done here. And
well, I'm sure
you
could find worse contractors, but I think you did get a pretty bad one. So the good part of that is most of your experiences going forward won't be this bad.
They'll just be better?
Well, they'll be better. They might still be bad, but they won't be this bad.
This is bad.
Yeah.
This is bad. Friend of mine gave me a little marijuana plant to plant in my backyard. I think I killed it.
So you killed your marijuana plant? Why did you kill the marijuana plant?
And it was cute. I don't think I watered it enough, but I just wanted it for the leaves are pretty, and it kind of initially before it started making buds, and then I think it died on itself. But I just I'm not a very good green thumb.
Maybe that's why your dog died, because it was eating your marijuana plant.
No, I just got it. Like, during the time we didn't do the podcast, a friend brought it over. And then I'm like, oh, it's so cute. I thought the leaves would be cute. And I was going to give them to a friend who does soaps and imprint them in the soaps and stuff. And I just wanted it for the leaves. And now it's just, it's tipped over. It looks terrible.
I'm pretty sure that's the only thing people want the marijuana for, is for its leaves.
You know, it smells, the plant.
Actually, it's not true. The hemp also comes from the stalk. So the whole plant is usable.
Oh, wow. Well, it's there. I don't think we can make rope yet. There's not enough. The whole thing, it smelled like really sweet. It was like kind of this interesting odor. And then it started budding and it smelled like weed.
Yeah. Dank.
Yeah. Ew. So I guess I'll just have to dispose of it. I don't use. So it's like it was kind of an interesting little thing.
Here, the safest way to dispose of them is to burn them.
Really? Where am I going to do that?
That was a joke.
Oh.
Because you burn marijuana.
Okay, I got it.
That's one way. Okay.
That's
one way. There's two ways to properly dispose of it, apparently. It's either through fire or through baking. Your choice.
Yeah, I don't know about baking it. Yeah, I think it's pretty much toast. No pun intended. Yeah, I didn't water it enough. And I also killed a basil plant. I was trying my thumb at gardening during our hiatus. I killed a basil plant, too. It's in rehab now.
Maybe we need to continue the podcast just so you stop murdering plants.
Yeah, it's in rehab now. I brought it to Marie. I'm like, I have a critical rescue in the car. She thought I drove my mom over and something happened. I'm like, no, it's a basil plant.
Would she take your mom?
I don't know. Someone.
You should do that. You should give that a try.
Oh, okay. Just drop her off. Walker and tennis shoes. Oh, God. God love her. Anyway, so no, I did have a question. Like, and I started cleaning out that, I call it my art barn. It's basically just a shed in the backyard. And I found a couple things back there. And I just had a quick question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you were at RISD, did you learn anything about brutalist?
You knew that I went to RISD?
Yes.
Oh, good.
I recall that. Somehow I just knew that. It's not that it's been hammered in like every other podcast. So obviously you wouldn't flex like that. But
no, of course
when
not.
You were, I know, when
that'd
you
be
were
grotesque.
RISD, it'd be grotesque.
I mean, I did. You know, I graduated from RISD, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just want to make sure you clear that up.
Yeah, that you just didn't go and then drop out.
Actually, like that's that is a much better flex, dropping out, because all the successful people do, in fact, drop out.
That's what you said. I think that's hilarious. But anyway, did they talk about brutalist art? Did you hear anything about brutalist art when you were at RISD?
I know brutalist art because I'm a civilized person. I know what it is. I'm sure we talked about it. I don't remember specifically.
Yeah, because I found a piece like about 23 years ago, at least. It was late 90s or early 2000s that a friend of mine, Sylvia, had given me this piece of metal that she had that her husband, who was a photographer, found somewhere in New York City. And she's like, I've had this stuff, just, you know, and I'm like, I love it. What is it? And someone had kind of jury-rigged like a little light under it so it would like illuminate the little holes in this. It's basically a cast piece with like torch holes. It's like torch pierced. Mm-hmm. They call it torch pierced. And so someone had put this little light, and I'm like, that's not supposed to be there. But the top, it clearly was a lamp. She's like, I don't know, just take it. He probably used it for photos or something. He found it maybe in some alley in New York City or whatever. I'm like, okay, great. So I took it and I'm like, oh, I love it. And then I put it in the shed with everything else that I have in there. And so...
You're lucky that Louise Nevelson didn't find it.
Right? I know it would have been in the...
Would have been somewhere.
Would have been somewhere on a wall with a box over it or something.
Would have been in a box.
So anyway, so fast forward to like this... little find I found on like OfferUp, and it was just this box of milk glass, and there was a lamp in there. So I took the milk glass lamp over to Phoenix Lamps, and I can't say enough good about that place. It's amazing. It's on like 22nd Street in Indian School.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been there.
I took it in. They're like, oh, this is so sweet. And I'm like, yeah, I found it in this box, you know. And so they rehabbed it for me. And as I was talking to the lady and I was looking around, I said, you know, I have this other weird thing. Not even sure if it's a lamp. So I brought it in on Tuesday, and they were just like, oh my God, this is a brutalist art piece. This was a lamp.
Well, now that's a bit of a stretch. Calling anything brutalist an art piece is debatable.
Is it a bit of an oxymoron?
It can be. I'm not a brutalist hater, but you know, a lot of it lacks something.
So let's define brutalist. Could you define brutalist for us?
Brutalism was Eastern European, Russian primarily, but it was also European style from, what was it, the 40s or 50s?
It was like 40s, 50s, and then some of the people worked into like the 60s.
And today, it was basically, the nut of the idea is to go all in on modern materials of the day, which was, you know, the concrete, and right, to not try to hide the nature of the material, which meant unfinished, raw, brutal, mm-hmm, concrete in very blocky, simplistic form.
Right.
Ornamentation was seen as the,
not
a thing you could do. It's the exact opposite of it looks like the back of something, right? Like a brutal, right. It looks like the back of a painting or the thing you're never supposed to see. It was so raw.
Right.
But it also has the association of the Soviet era, because they kind of inherited that. Aesthetically, it's a little bit questionable. Some brutalist things actually I think look good, but the overall style is not the greatest, and then its association politically is also not the greatest. So it's just...
I see. Yeah. I think this is an Italian piece by I did a lot of research after I got home, and I found this Italian guy. Like Sylvia says, she knew it was Italian. I guess her husband knew more about the piece than we knew. But we can't ask him. He's no longer with us. But she's like, no, I knew it was Italian. I think it's an artist by the name of Marcello Franconi, who did like lamps. And he was actually a ceramist. I mean, he did ceramics and he was a metal worker.
You sent me a picture. Is it exactly like the picture you sent me?
That is a hexagonal piece. It's exactly like that, except it's round.
Oh, interesting.
Exactly.
Cylindrical.
Exactly.
All right. So is your piece steel or is it bronze?
It's bronze.
Okay. Because the one that you sent me the picture of, they claim that it's bronze, but it's absolutely steel.
It's steel with the bronze. It's like, I'm not sure. I think they said Fanconi worked with steel, and he worked with bronze with the brass overlay. And this kind of has,
I don't
mine
know what
has kind
brass
of
brass overlay means.
Like brass, like it just, there was like brass on top of it. It was like a bronze piece. But like, it looks like there's something on top of it. I was wondering if it was painted or somehow covered. Like that it was covered.
I don't know why you didn't just send me a picture of yours, because, you know, we can do that these days.
Because I don't have a picture of mine.
Was it at the lamp store now?
It's at the lamp store. I left it there. And then we were going to illuminate the base. I didn't even know. And then I went home and I found that picture. And so I took it over there on Wednesday. And I'm like, just do this with the pole and the, you know, just restore it to how this lamp. Manny, the guy, they're just all delightful over there. I can't say enough about their team. It's amazing. And Manny's like, he was like, yeah, he goes, definitely. So I think to illuminate the base would be hokey at this point after I saw it. I don't want it to be hokey. You know, it might look cool, but
yeah, it could probably look right. So just I wanted to make this clear that the picture you showed me, the in the description, it says bronze plate.
Bronze plate.
Porch cut. It's not bronze, because you know what bronze doesn't do?
Pierce.
It doesn't rust.
Oh.
And there's rust on top of this one. Not only that, but it's also, unless they messed up their photography really badly, it's not bronze in color. It is steel in color. So I just wanted to say.
Oh, that was a black and white photo I sent you.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, it wasn't?
No, okay. No. It's illuminated. And in some of the illumination shots, you can see a kind of a gold color from the bulb. And you can, it looks black and white because it's steel.
Okay. Yeah, this is it's really heavy. And underneath, it looks like steel. It looks like someone plated it or did something on the outside of it.
I don't know what kind of nonsense they're pulling, but it looked like steel to me. Anyway, these pieces, it's a plate of metal. It's a kind of metal plate since we don't know. I don't know exactly what it is.
I don't know what it is.
That's been cut in short cuts made with a torch. So they're short rectilinear cuts, like just a slash. It's a short, straight slash horizontally or vertically. Mm-hmm. But because it's cut with a torch, the edges are very soft and bubbly, like toothpaste.
Like melty, like it melted.
It's very sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of sloppy. You know, the straight lines, but with a sloppy edge. Because the metal is melting and bubbling over.
It gives it like a textural quality instead of a very pristine, flat quality that would have been less interesting, I think.
So it's brutalist in the sense that it's a simple form. And that's one of the fundamental aspects of brutalism, is that they take like just basic forms and clobber you over the head with them. and the simplicity of the cuts and the rawness of the cuts, they're not trying to hide anything here. But it is also quite a bit lighter in aesthetic appearance than most brutalist pieces would be. But I would say, you know, this kind of reads as brutalist.
I think it's brutalist light compared to some of the other research I was looking at, and the buildings that are considered brutalist, you know, are very, it does resonate like Soviet era. They just look like blocks of
soulless,
like, dormitories or something. Yes, exactly.
Soul crushing construction.
Soul crushing construction. But this is absolutely, and like when you handle the piece, it's like, it's just so delightful. There's such an, I hate to sound like this, like an energy about it. I mean, I just love it.
That's what happens when you hand even a terrible aesthetic style to an Italian. They're like, yeah, I can make something beautiful out of that because I'm Italian. Shut up. Sit down. Sit over in the corner. Don't say a damn word and I'll make something beautiful.
Yeah. So I love this piece. I'm so excited to get it home. And of the two lamps, I mean, I really liked the little milk glass one. This is so much more my aesthetic. Not that I guess I could probably live in a very industrial place, but I'll definitely use this. I mean, I can't wait to get it back. I have a place for it already picked out, and I'm excited for it.
Well, I'm going to steal it and sell it so I can buy a camera.
Right, I know. I was shocked at the price on that, but that's like from Cherish, like the thing. I mean, I doubt that it's actually worth that, but I don't care what it's worth. I like it, and I held on to it, and I called my friend who gave it to me. She gifted it to me. She's like, oh, yeah. She's like, Howie said that it was Italian. She's, I'm sure it's this guy. I mean, there's nothing identifiable. There's no maker mark on it. There is an area on the bottom. It looks like there might have been some sort of a maker mark, but it was like the metal's been torn off. It was like cracked off.
Huh. That's weird.
Yeah. So, yeah, it is. It's kind of weird. This thing's been through it. It's been through it.
Well, that's the nice thing about brutalist pieces is they can survive. They are designed. Mm-hmm. It looks like they're designed to survive a nuclear holocaust.
Yeah, it'll be like the brutalist pieces and the cockroaches.
And cockroaches, yes. And yeah, is that the world you want to live in? Not really. Thanks, I'll check out. I'll take my check, please. Thank you.
So anyway, that was just my little, that was probably the most exciting thing that happened. A couple little finds for lamps and then meeting these delightful people at Phoenix Lamps. I mean, just, I can't say enough about how helpful they are, and just it's really a great place.
You can't rewire a lamp on your own?
No. Are you kidding? I can't grow a basil plant on my own.
A basil. I don't think anybody. Basil. Yeah.
Basil plant. No, basil I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. No. And then it needed to be cleaned up and it had to have a new heart put on it and yada, yada, yada. I mean, there were things that needed to be done to it. And it's absolutely adorable little piece. It's very girly. It's just like, did I say girly? Oh my God.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, it's very dainty. It's like a little, it's like almost childlike. It's super cute. And it reads like 1950s cottagecore or something.
Are you still talking about the Brutalist lamp?
No, I'm talking about the white one I found, milk glass.
I got it. Wow, okay.
Yeah, that's how I know, like flight of ideas. But
no, just let me know when we're changing topic. That's okay. That's all.
Well, so the general topic, the overriding topic was...
Are you okay? Diane Feinstein, are you okay?
No, I'm drinking this Starbucks drink that came out of a can and has guarana in it, and I think maybe it's affecting my
ability. I don't know what any of that means.
I don't know either.
Do you have like inflammation of the brain?
I'm hoping not.
Okay.
But this thing is like, it's kind of buzzing me a little bit.
Oh yeah, I have coffee. God. Forgot about that. Yeah, my Keurig has been acting up a little bit. I'm wondering if I've worn it out.
Oh, no. Are you going to go for a Nespresso now?
Oh, God, no. Those things are way, way more expensive.
Mm.
No, if I did have to replace it, I would just go with another Keurig. I've brewed thousands of cups of coffee with this thing in relative ease. So I can't complain. No, but the last week it started brewing a cup, and it stopped about halfway, maybe a quarter of the way through. So like, oh, that's weird. So I just pressed the button again, and it started again and stopped again.
Mm.
So I opened it up, and it threw up at me.
No.
Yes. So I popped open the top, and I'm looking at the top of the pod. I'm looking at the top of the pod, and it basically spurts hot water and
grounds
at me.
Nice.
My response was I laughed out loud because I'm not used to having it throw up on me.
Right.
It's like, what are you, an infant? What's going on here? But I think the only problem might be that the needles that puncture it on both the top and the bottom may be dulling a little bit or something. Because I don't know.
That makes sense.
There have been a couple failures lately, but...
can you just replace those?
I haven't looked into it yet, so I've just been more careful about the puncture process.
Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah, this Starbucks came out of a can. Marie brought some over. She gets them at this...
Boy, how much better can life get?
Market. I don't know. I just put like a little bit of it in the cup and like my old Starbucks. I was recycling this. I did. This was a Frappuccino at one point.
Don't talk to me. Don't talk to our audience like they can see what you're doing.
Oh, okay. But this one. Okay. I'm sorry. The cup I'm holding previously contained a Frappuccino. And I just put a little bit of that and then put some milk in it because I was afraid of this guarana caffeine. And I'm feeling a little buzzed. Yeah. I guess it's. It's Guarana.
Is it just a type of roast or bean or something?
No, it's some sort of plant that has caffeine in it, and it's used for caffeine, and they use it in Red Bull. And I'm a little sensitive to caffeine, and I only drank about an inch of this, and it was by no means like full, and I feel dizzy. So I don't think this drink is for me.
You know what I would recommend is just getting caffeine pills.
I drink decaf 90% of the time.
I'm going to switch out your medication with caffeine pills. I think that would be an interesting experiment to run.
Yeah, Guaran is doing... I mean, I'm such a lightweight. Man, that's why I'm tripping over my tongue today. But what else is going on? I mean, that's all. I had like some art finds or like cute little finds in my barn. I have more stuff in there.
AI madness seems to be getting worse.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
Well, people are getting their pants in a twist.
Mm-hmm.
Bunch of prominent AI people are saying that this is the end of the world, basically. I think that might be overstating a little bit. Like, I'm still not convinced that the AI that we're working with now, Chatbot, and ChatGPT.
Yeah, ChatGPT.
And Midjourney and the like. These are not general intelligence machines. These are algorithms. I just want to reiterate the difference here is that these machines are good at figuring out how to complete a sentence, but they don't know what sentence they're saying or why, right? Mm-hmm. It's not the kind of intelligence that can understand itself or can make up new things.
So they're not sentient is what you're saying.
Exactly. And I don't think they ever will be. I think this line of AI type of research is a dead end. Not a dead end. It's an effective machine. These are great tools. They're mm-hmm. adding to the useful toolbox of humanity. But it's not an artificial intelligence. We're never going to get that because it will never understand what it's saying. And that's the main thing. It says things. It sounds smart, but it is completely not smart. It really doesn't have any idea what it's saying.
Yeah. And it just cracks me up when they say they're hallucinating. I mean, they really are imparting like a sentience that right. like doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's a misunderstanding.
It's like all of a sudden this weird thing is hallucinating. Now that's super scary. You know,
it's a misunderstanding of the technology.
Mm-hmm. Agree. Well, the other thing that was in the news, like briefly, was this Warhol versus Prince thing.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see the actual images. So I wasn't
I
sure what to
it.
Say. Okay.
Yeah, it's literally, you can do it like right now while we're on.
Okay, I'll do that. So am I seeing this correctly? I'm seeing the original portrait of Prince, which is a regular mm-hmm. photographic portrait.
Right,
nothing
right.
particularly fancy. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I'm having a hard time because I went to the New York Post and I can barely see what's going on the screen because there's so much crap trying to load in and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and then I'm looking underneath it, and it's that picture has clearly been used to make a bunch of Andy Warhol-style prints.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So that's the controversy.
That's the controversy. It's like identical.
All right, so I'm looking at it now, and I'm mm-hmm. seeing the original portrait, which is,
mm-hmm.
I guess, for the 1980s or whenever this was taken, an avant-garde portrait, but it's not really. It's just a basic portrait.
Mm-hmm. Black and white.
No, the one I'm looking at is in color.
Oh, the one you're looking at is in color?
Yeah.
I'm seeing a black and white photo of Prince.
And then I see Warhol is obviously using that exact portrait to Warholify it. He's just making mm-hmm. silkscreen prints in different colors. And mm-hmm. the controversy is that he lost a copyrights, or his, not him because he's dead, but his estate
mm-hmm.
or foundation or whatever they're calling it these days, lost the copyright infringement case, saying that this was, you know, a copyright infringement of the original photograph.
Yes, because it wasn't changed substantively enough.
It's a big change, but it is very recognizably the photograph still. So that's mm-hmm. the question. How much do you need to change it for it to be a new work?
And that was my question. They didn't really I didn't read the Supreme Court decision. I didn't read any further than like the NPR article, whatever I'll link in the show notes. But question is, how do you determine the amount of change? Like what amount of change is necessary? 30%, 40%? I mean,
it's
the
not
photo
a question
I'm
of percentage,
at,
right? Because
I don't know.
And this is one of the problems with the courts is that do we really want our judges to be making artistic calls like this?
Right.
They're not. What the hell do they know? I mean, don't they spend most of their time at their millionaire friend or billionaire friends' retreats in the Hamptons and whatnot?
Yeah.
On free vacations?
And on yachts and stuff, yeah.
Judge
but,
Thomas.
You know, mm-hmm. Oh, God, don't get me started. But no, this is clearly a portrait of Prince. Lynn Goldsmith in 1981. And Andy Warhol did 16 silkscreened images of it. And then they said he used the photo as a reference. It just looks like it was
photos,
the photo.
Well, he took the photo as he must have taken a photo of the photo and used that as a transfer to transfer it onto
mm-hmm.
the print.
Yeah, it looks like a transfer. Yeah,
that's exactly what he does. This is a pretty Warholian thing to do.
Mm hmm.
The worst thing about this podcast, Catherine, mm-hmm. is that we've talked so much about Warhol is that I now know how to spell his name properly. And I know that may not sound like a lot for most of you normal people, but as a dyslexic,
mm-hmm.
I can't spell anything. And Warhol is not necessarily the way it's not the way a dyslexic would spell it.
Okay.
Until he's forced to spell it so many times that it just finally sinks in. So that's the crime against me that has been perpetrated.
Oh, God.
Committed against me
right.
by this podcast.
Right. Right. The one that I think, you know, in terms of the 16 images, the one where Prince has a purple face, to me, really looks super identical. Like the ones where you can just see the color coming through and the orange face. Some of the other things were, you know, just linear drawings or partial, you know, color blocks of color.
This is really a hard one for me to say because it's a different work, but it's got the original artwork. The original photo is literally the foundation of it.
Right.
but it is, you know, pretty significant change. And there's nothing about it that would make you believe that the same artist made both of these things.
Mm-hmm.
I would err on the side that it's derivative or it's a new work.
Mm-hmm.
It's close.
I was like 50-50 on this. It's like I could see it from both sides.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I really can see the original. But then that takes into account like all of the screen print images or any kind of, you know, when you start extrapolating it out, even to like collage artists who often use other people's images in their work. It's like, are you going to say now that, you know, all of that, like there's copyright infringement on like 50 different magazine cuttings or something?
That's exactly the point. Yeah, that's exactly the point that I have as well, is that mm-hmm. you can't use any other aspect, any other element of anybody else's work in your work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not the way derivative works go. Mm-hmm. That's not how that works.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a slippery slope. First you say, well, you can't use any aspect of it, and then maybe it's become style as well, because why not? Why not copyright the style as well? Isn't that the next step?
It seems like it could be the next step.
That seems like a bad rant.
That'd be a horrible next step. So you would have sided with the Warhol Foundation on this one.
Yeah.
As I would have.
As distasteful as that is, concept, I would have.
That's why I wanted to talk about it, because I knew you'd find that distasteful. But I agree with you 100%.
But I really couldn't have less interest in this whole thing, because I have been told by credible individuals that mm-hmm. Prince was some kind of musical genius, and I kind of like some of his work, mm-hmm. but I don't think of him as being a genius.
Mm-hmm.
And I obviously have a pretty high level disdain for Warhol. And then the photograph that it's based on it's a fine portrait, but it doesn't strike me as being all that unique.
Yeah, so it's just very stared down.
It's just a bathtub full of bland. So I just don't care.
Well, a bathtub full of bland with implications for the art world moving forward, because now they've defined this as being not even derivative, that it was simply a ripoff, basically. That's what I'm hearing them saying.
It's a copyright infringement.
So where do you take that? I mean, what does this mean for, like, the collage artist or someone else who's doing screen prints? Has this opened up a can of worms?
Hey, all the art I make these days is in Midjourney, and there's no copyright applied to that anyway, so I don't care anymore.
Wow.
Sorry.
No, I was just curious, because I found it interesting. And I loved Prince. I thought that I enjoyed his music. I did think there was a genius aspect to him. Mm-hmm. And Warhol, I was neutral on.
When I say credible, I take it from credible sources that people have told me that he was a music genius. Pretty much, compared to me, everybody is a credible source for music, because I have no taste in music.
And everyone's a musical genius,
really,
huh?
Everyone else seems to understand this music thing a lot better than I do.
Yeah, I just, like his struggle and how he recorded all of the piece, you know, himself, like doing different instruments and vocals. And now I think the guy was cut down before his time. I cried that whole day when we heard of Prince's demise. It was a dark day for me. I thought it was awful. But yeah, I don't agree with the courts on this one.
The more I look at it, the more I'm thinking, you can absolutely see the photograph, but this is not a copy or ripoff. I don't even understand. I think it seems like they don't understand copyright. Calling this a copyright infringement, the more I look at it, the harder it is to justify.
Mm-hmm.
Do you not understand derivative work? We should not leave these up to seven justices or nine justices somewhere in D.C. They are clearly not up to the task.
Well, they're not doctors, and then they're clearly not artists. They get to make a lot of decisions.
You know what? They're fired.
That just doesn't make sense.
This is just not acceptable. This is their work level. The quality of their work level has gone down lately.
Right.
And I just don't think they're up to the task anymore.
Right. Agree. Yeah. So I wouldn't call this a copyright infringement. And I think it opens up a can of worms moving forward for other artists who do derivative work. A lot of people do. Personally, I think that the entire art world is derivative.
Well, of course.
Where's the line that we're going to cut it off at? Like you said, is the style now? Is it materials?
I want to see the artwork the Supreme Court has made lately. What have they done? All their work is derivative.
Oh, my God.
They can't stop. They're all guilty of copyright infringement because they just keep re-saying the same thing over and over again. Like, literally, that's their job, is to cut and paste.
Mm-hmm.
So, Supreme Court.
You're fired.